Good morning, everyone.
We want to welcome you to the Lord's house on this Sabbath morning for our morning worship service. We appreciate your presence with us. Just going to read to you the comforting words of 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Many cares and concerns and burdens and worries in life. It's a great comfort to know that the Lord cares, that he's interested in all that concerns us. And we're going to think about that a little in the message a little later in the service this morning. We're singing William Cowper's great hymn about God's providence as we open the service this morning. Hymn number 39. God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. So number 39, please, will stand as we sing together. Just set our hearts together. We'll seek the Lord at the throne of grace. We'll come into his presence. Heavenly Father, as we do bow before thee today, we're mindful of your greatness. The word of God reminds us that the Lord is great. Nehemiah, when he was praying, he sought the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy. We want to pray, Father, as we gather in your house this Sabbath morning, as we gather to worship thee, give to us a renewed and a fresh sense of the greatness of our God. We remember that the scriptures tell us that the heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. And Lord, we want to pray that we'll be overawed today. As we think of how great thou art, we pray that that might be the song of our hearts. We pray, Father, that that might be the desire that pours forth even from our souls as we worship thee today. We're mindful that thou art the Almighty. You're the one to whom all power belongs, that you're the Lord God, omnipotent, that there's absolutely no limits to the power of our God. We would ask, Father, that we might experience a little of that power in these meetings today. We pray it will please thee to pour out your power upon us, the power of your Spirit. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And Lord, we would plead earnestly this Sabbath morning for the Spirit to come upon us in this meeting. May the Holy Ghost descend now. We want to pray that the power of God will especially attend and rest upon the preaching of your word in both services in this house today. We plead, Father, that we would have such a visitation of the Spirit that we would sense that this whole building is filled with your presence and filled with your power. We remember the Old Testament and the temple, and the Shekinah glory of God filled the house. O Lord, we would plead, grant that the same would take place in this building, even this Sabbath morning. We want to give thee praise, Father, for all your blessings. We thank you today, especially for the chiefest of your blessings. We praise thee, Father, for all in the meeting that are able to speak of and testify to thy so great salvation, the experience of the new birth. We thank you, Father, for the forgiveness of all of our sins. O God, we recognize at times we become so accustomed to these things that we do not appreciate fully all that you have done for us. And we ask, Father, give us in this house today a renewed sense of the greatness of thy salvation, the great God that we worship, the great blessings, and that great blessing of salvation you've bestowed upon us. And remember that Paul spoke about thy so great salvation. What a blessing that is. Oh, the wonder, Father, of it all, just to think that God loves me. We would pray, Father, that we'd be overwhelmed with that knowledge, even in your house today. Pray that our hearts will be touched. We remember Paul said that the love of Christ constraineth us. And we would ask, Father, as we consider your love for us, and even a little later, as we tarry around the communion table and think of the sacrifice of our Saviour, the body that was broken, the blood that was shed. Lord, save us from just the routine. We would ask, Father, for hearts that are open today. We would pray that you'll speak to us. Lord, we pray that we'll not leave your house the same. We would want to leave your house different. We're thinking that this season of the birth of the Lord Jesus and those wise men that went home another way, Lord, we ask that that will be true of us as your people, that we'll go home today a different way. We'll go home different men and women, for the Lord has come and met with us and spoken to us. So, Father, as we think of every blessing spiritually, when we think of all your temporal provision for us, we want to bow and give thee worship today. We acknowledge that thou art God, that thou art the only God. All the gods of men are idols, and beside thee there is none other. You're the living God. You're the Almighty. You're the one that has made all things, and we acknowledge today, Father, that you're the one that has made us. And we thank you for your grace in Christ that has made us a new creature in Christ Jesus. And Lord, we pray that what you've done for so many of us, you'll do for others in this meeting today, in the gospel service tonight. We want to thank you for the work carried out already through this week. We remember the meetings that have been conducted with the children and the young people, the Sunday school and Bible classes. Oh God, speak to hearts. May your word go forth and touch hearts today, even with great power. May it be applied by the Spirit of God. May those that have been in those meetings, may they be caused to think of the truth of your word. And especially, we're praying, Father, that it'll bring all of those children and young people to Christ. Lord, we ask today, earnestly, we ask it even unitedly as a church, that not one child in the families of this church, not one child in our meetings that come to our meetings, that not one of them would perish without Christ, go to a lost eternity. We're praying, Father, of mercy upon them, and we're praying, Father, of mercy upon our land in these days. We thank you that you've assured us the mercy of the Lord endureth forever. What a blessing to know we come to a merciful God. And Lord, we need your mercy in this land as we think of the condition of our land spiritually. And we're crying, Father, that you'll come and revive us again. So hear our prayers and lead us through the meeting now. Give us the help of God, the leading of the Lord. May we know the touch of God upon our lips today. And we pray that you'll guide us especially in all that is said. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The 46th Psalm, the first version, we're going to sing the opening 7 verses together. God is our refuge and our strength, in straits a present aid. Therefore, although the earth remove, we will not be afraid. So Psalm 46 is the first version, the first 7 verses. We'll stand to sing, please. Some of the Psalms, that the ultimate fulfillment of them is for a future day, especially when that time when the Saviour comes again and reigns upon the earth. In that section of Psalm 46 that we read, it speaks about the river. There is a river. The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. Just remind you, remember, we encourage you to get an atlas and to take a look at some of the Bible locations. And I remind you, there is no river in Jerusalem. Jerusalem is different from many of the great capital cities of the earth. Most of the great capitals are built on a river, and the reason for that was to help with regard to trade and the supply of goods. But there is no river in Jerusalem. So those words are referring to a future day. Remember, Ezekiel talks about the river that will run out of the temple. And that is what Psalm 46 is speaking about. In the day of Christ, there's going to be a life-giving stream, a life-giving river that will flow out of the temple down as far as the Dead Sea. And Ezekiel talks about the effect that that will have upon the land in those days. And even a little further down the psalm, it talks about that he will make wars to cease unto the ends of the earth. Well, you only have to listen to the news to know that hasn't happened yet. And is God's word true? Will that happen? Is what God said actual? Is it literal? Will there come a day when war will cease onto the very ends of the earth? Well, that will be one of the characteristics of the day of Christ, the day of his reign upon the earth. So it's good to remember those things. Keep in mind that there's a prophetical aspect to the Psalms, which is often overlooked by the Lord's people in their reading of them. We're going to read a psalm together just now. It's Psalm 138, our scripture reading this Sabbath morning. Psalm 138. Just a short psalm, just 8 verses. We'll read them all together. The title is Psalm of David. David wrote many of the psalms, but it's good to emphasize he didn't write all of the psalms. Psalm 90 was written by Moses, so that was long before the days of David. But it's clearly stated here in the title, the author. So Psalm 138, let's hear the word of the Lord. I will praise thee with my whole heart. May God save us from half-hearted Christianity, half-hearted worship and half-hearted service. I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. In the day when I cried, thou answerest me and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of thy mouth. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly. But the proud he knoweth afar off. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. May the Lord add his blessing this morning to this, the public reading of his word. So we do thank you all for your presence in the service this Sabbath morning. We're very thankful for your attendance, your fellowship. May the Lord bless us together. If you've come to visit with us in the service this morning, we want to give you a particular welcome along to the meeting. Pray that it will be a blessing to your heart and soul. We want to welcome all of the children and young people. Nice to hear the practice taking place this morning for the Sunday School Carol service that will take place on the evening of Christmas Eve. We always look forward to that. So we were blessed and touched just to hear the singing from the Sunday School this morning. So we're glad to see the children and the young people. We welcome all that are watching the service as well. We appreciate your interest in the meetings here. Keep in mind that there is communion immediately after the morning worship. We encourage you, if you can, to stay, to wait behind. Tonight at 6 is our prayer meeting downstairs in the church hall, 6:30, and the gospel service. We've been considering some very important, pertinent questions in relation to your spiritual condition. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you know that you've been born again? And the theme tonight is, are you prepared for death? Are you prepared? Are you ready to die? We want you to consider that with us in the gospel meeting this evening. Remember the memorial service for Dr. Bill Woods. It will take place this afternoon at 3:30 in the Martyrs' Church. We encourage you, if you can, to go along to that. If not, remember that you will be able to watch it on the live stream that will come from the Martyrs' Church there during that service. Then tomorrow, in the will of the Lord, 10 a.m. is the parent and toddler group in the church hall. 7:30 in the evening is the ladies' Christmas night, time of food and fellowship. 7:15, we're encouraging the ladies to come for, just so that everyone's seated and settled. So the evening can begin at 7:30. So that's going to be a buffet meal served by our sister Sarah Irwin. And we're very thankful to Sarah for undertaking to prepare the food for the ladies. We want her to know that it's very, very much appreciated. So pray for the ladies that have a good time. And remember Mrs. Crane, Mrs. Jane Crane, who will come along as our guest and will show a presentation to the ladies after the food has been served. Tuesday night is the bright hours, the bright hour parties. The church at 7:15, the usual time. Killaloe beginning just a little bit earlier, 6:30. So just to emphasise that for you. Wednesday night's our midweek service, the prayer meeting. I hope to be here to lead and to speak at that meeting myself, so we encourage you to come. Remember the importance of the prayer meeting of the church. Friday at 8 is the youth fellowship. That's a fun night for them as the season draws near a close, coming up to the Christmas holiday period. So 8 o'clock, a fun night for the youth fellowship on Friday evening. Remember that Saturday night is the Sunday school party, and that's from 6 o'clock onwards. We've had some very good times at the Sunday school party. We look back to last year and remember the blessing that it was. So we encourage a good turnout. We're conscious that there is sickness among a number of the families of the church just at this time. Remember the families that those that are unwell will know the touch of the Lord. But as many as possible, please come along next Saturday evening. And remember what we've emphasised, even if you don't have children connected with the Sunday school, we encourage you to come along as well for the fellowship among the Lord's people. I hope to be off for a week from next Lord's Day. I'll be here for the Sunday school party. Be off for a week. Remember, as usual, contact one of the elders if pastoral care is required or needed during that period. Next Lord's Day, the 10th of December, 10:40 is the Sunday school and the Bible classes. Our services at the usual times, 11:30 a.m., 6:30 p.m. The preacher is the Reverend Kevin MacLeod. Remember, the Reverend MacLeod, formerly in Rasharkin, had to retire early because of ill health. We're thankful that the Lord has strengthened their brother, that he's been able to minister and to conduct some meetings. He's going to be preaching at both services next Lord's Day. And remember the half hour of prayer, please, before both meetings. Just with regard to the senior citizens' gift for Christmas for this year, remember that the age is the ladies 60 and upwards, the men 65 and upwards. So we'd ask you if you could let us know if you or someone in your family needs to be added to the list for the Christmas gift this year. We emphasise that we don't always know, we're not always aware when someone reaches the required age. And we don't want anyone to be excluded. We don't want anyone to be left out. So we'd appreciate your help with that. The free will offering envelopes for 2024 are available in the porch. See our brother, Mr. Billy Hill. There is a slightly different design that made them slightly bigger. We understand that's to help with the polymer notes. It can be a wee bit more difficult to get them into the envelope. So we'll be expecting larger offerings coming into 2024. But we do encourage you to sign up for the free will offering scheme if you haven't already done so. We'd like every family to be contributing regularly, weekly through that scheme. So see our brother, Mr. Hill, about that if you don't have envelopes and you would like to have. And also see our brother Billy if you want to sign up to the tax covenant scheme that the church can benefit from your giving. They receive back, I think it's 25% now, of all that you give through the Inland Revenue. So speak to Billy about that and he'll be able to provide you with the necessary documentation. There is quite a bit of literature that's available. There's a number of calendars. There's the Missionary Council annual prayer calendar for 2024. Please take one of those. Remember to pray for the missionaries. There's also the Let the Bible Speak calendar. Remember, they're priced £4. And also the Way of Life calendar that's produced for the outreach at the ploughing match. They always print a surplus to distribute among the churches to use for outreach and evangelism. So there is a number of copies of those that are available today as well. The latest Let the Bible Speak quarterly is at the doors also. You remember there was a very nice harvest display from the church here to highlight LTBS's 50th anniversary. So they asked if they could put a picture of that in the magazine. So that is included in the magazine, this time on page 15. So be sure to take a little look at that. Take one of those magazines as well. There's also some flyers down at the door. You know that from time to time that there's an international congress that is held of the Free Presbyterian Church. So that's when the folk in North America send a party over and we hold special meetings. Alternatively, it's held in North America and here in Northern Ireland. So it's the turn of the Ulster Presbytery to host that international congress. It'll take place between the 1st and the 5th of July next year in the Martyrs. So there are some flyers that give the details just to make the congregations aware, to encourage, if you can, to keep the dates free so that you can attend and to pray for the Lord's help and the preparations and the Lord's blessing to be upon the meetings. Dr. Douglas's new book that was launched on Thursday evening, The Land and the Book, God's Future Dealings with Israel, there's copies of that available in the porch. It is to sell at £7.50, but there was a special introductory offer of £5. That means you can buy three for the normal price of two. So there's copies there in the porch. We commend that book to you. There were messages that were originally preached in the Newton Abbey Church a few years ago. There's an appendices on the Araba, and I'll encourage you to read that for yourself. It's something that Mr. Douglas has particularly studied and emphasised that in all his reading he has never been able to find any other treatment of that subject. And those that have been to Israel with him on the tours when they've been down in that region, he has spoken about it and pointed to the scriptures that deal with that particular region of the land of Israel. So that new book, there's a few copies of it there. If there's more needed, we can get those. There's a list as usual. Put your name down and indicate whenever you have paid for the book itself. We generally have a Christmas offering, a missionary Christmas offering every year. This year it's going to go to the Bible Spreading Union in England for the purchase of Bibles. They give away Bibles to help the Lord's work, particularly to those that aren't able to afford the Bibles themselves. They have given some to us here. We have used them in the children's work and given them out to some of the boys and girls. So we'd like to help and encourage them. So that will be taken on the Lord's Day, the 24th of December, Christmas Eve. So remember to mark the envelope for the Bible Spreading Union, or the BSU is sometimes how it's referred. And we encourage you to give as generously to that as you can. Our sister, Miss McAfee, is coming home tomorrow. You remember she had to break up her furlough last year, and she lost a couple of months of the furlough. So she's going to be home for just a little over 6 weeks to spend a little time with her mother and the family over Christmas and the new year. So it'll be a fairly long journey. It'll take most of a couple of days. So pray that she'll know strength and safe travel as well. At the presbytery meeting on Friday night in Ballygown, Miss Elizabeth Edwards, she had applied to the board for missionary service in Kenya. So the board had processed that application. She had been interviewed, and it was recommended to the presbytery on Friday night that she be accepted, and that was approved wholeheartedly by the presbytery that Miss Edwards be accepted for missionary service in Kenya. So she will be preparing now to do deputations around the church. It'll take a wee bit of time to get those meetings booked and to get her deputation video prepared as well. So do keep her in your prayers. A few years ago, the Reverend Harris encouraged the board to pray for new missionaries, for five new missionaries. And the Lord certainly has been answering prayer. You think of the Kirkcaldins, the Macaulays, the Hamiltons, and now Miss Edwards. The great needs in the field, as some of our senior missionaries have retired. In the will of the Lord, the Pattersons will be retiring from Kenya next year. So that will leave a further vacancy. So the Lord has been at work ahead of us providentially. We thought a few Sabbath mornings ago about the Lord providing, and he's certainly providing the personnel for the missionary works. Remember all of these folk, please. There is a youth rally tonight in Bethany. The speaker is the Reverend Middleton from the Tully Vallon Church, and the singers are the Walker sisters from the Lurgan congregation. Continue to pray for our brother Peter Gorman. Peter is very weak indeed. The family were called yesterday. We sat with the family for some time yesterday evening, just in the nursing home. So please remember Peter. Remember too our sister Florence Redmond. Florence is in the hospital, and she would really appreciate the prayers of the congregation for the Lord's healing touch just to be upon her at this time. Remember brother Tommy Sargent. We mentioned at the midweek meeting that Tommy was in hospital in recent days, and he's doing much better, and we're very thankful for that. I emphasised to you just a little earlier, there's a number of the families in the congregation with little children that are unwell. There's a lot of sickness around, so do remember all of those families and the boys and girls as well. So we're going to come together, please, and we're going to sing, just before the word of the Lord, a few verses of 434. 434, He leadeth me, O blessed thought, words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. We're going to sing out, we're going to leave out the final verse. We'll just sing the first three of 434 and we'll stand, please.
Thank you. Let's just pray together for a moment.
Heavenly Father, we praise Thee that we can seek Thee at all times. We praise Thee that we can bring to Thee every burden and every care. We thank You for that great exhortation that we read at the beginning of the meeting, casting all our care upon Thee, for Thou doth care for us. We pray, Father, help us to be able to do that in this meeting. May we bring every burden to the Lord. And we pray, Father, help us to leave them there. We acknowledge so many times that we pick those burdens up again and carry them away and continue to bear them ourselves. Help us, Father, today to leave our burdens with Thyself. We remember those that are unwell and weak in body. We pray for Brother Peter especially. Thank You for His faithful testimony, support of this church for many years. Lord, be at His side. May He be conscious of Your presence. We remember Sister Florence, praying that she will know the healing and strengthening touch of the Lord to be upon her just at this time. We pray that she'll be comforted by a sense of the Lord being near to her. Remember Brother Tommy, thank You for Your hand upon him. Pray that You might strengthen his heart at this time. Pray that he and Helen will know the support of the Lord and Your presence day by day. We remember, Father, all the families of our church, especially those with sickness among the children and the little ones. Lord, be near to them. We're aware of the demands in family life. We thank You that You've assured us, as Thy days, so shall Thy strength be. Give to every family, we ask, Father, the strength that is needed just for this time. Encourage every family, all the young people, in the things of God. And Lord, encourage our hearts, even now as we wait around the Word and meditate upon it. We ask these things today, in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 138, please. And the 8th verse is our text. Psalm 138, verse 8. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. It's especially the first part of the verse we want to emphasize. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. The subject for our Bible study this morning is comfort for concerned Christians. Can I point out to you that whenever David penned this psalm, it was for him at a time of trouble, a time of great trouble in his life. It's not possible to be certain what part of David's life or what circumstances David was in whenever he actually penned these words under inspiration of the Spirit. There are several suggestions that are made by the commentators. The most common of those suggestions is it was at that time whenever David was being hunted by King Saul. His life was in grave danger. Saul wanted to take his life. Or some others suggest it was whenever David became king over all Israel, when the kingdom was united under him as the monarch, and some of the nations round about Israel attacked and opposed the nation and opposed David at that time. Or the other main suggestion is that it was when Absalom rebelled against David, his own son Absalom, and sought to steal the kingdom from him. So those are the main suggestions, but I emphasize we can't be sure what the background of the psalm is. But it is very clear, brethren and sisters, that David was in trouble. If you look at verse 7, though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. Notice especially the words in that verse 7, in the midst of trouble. And he speaks and makes reference to mine enemies. So it's clear David was in trouble. He was in great trouble. In fact, the verse 7 is more graphic than that. It describes him as being right in the middle of trouble. And he's surrounded by his enemies. And as you consider David, as you consider him being in serious trouble, as you think of him being opposed, there is, brethren and sisters, great encouragement for you in that truth and that knowledge. There's great encouragement for you to see and to understand that even he, even a man like David, passed through such difficult times, such difficult experiences. Life for David, the man who is described in the Bible as the man after God's own heart, even life for David wasn't always easy. It wasn't always times of blessing. So I want to exhort you today, encourage you. Don't think, if you're in a time of difficulty, time of trouble, don't think that you're facing something, that you're facing a situation that no one else has ever faced before. Because we learn from this psalm that even the Lord's greatest servants, even those that are most prominent in the Bible, they had times of trouble and difficulty as well. I want you just to ponder the word concerneth that's found there in our text. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. And let me ask you, as you think of that word, let me ask you just the question. What is it that concerns you today? Life is full of concerns and worries. So if you've come to the morning meeting, sitting in the Lord's house, just take a moment to identify that. What is it that concerns you this morning? Remember that that word concern or concerneth has two main meanings. One is that which is relevant or that which is important to you. The other meaning is that which makes you anxious, that which causes you to be worried. And the reality is that one can lead to the other. The things that are relevant, the things that are important in life, well, they can cause worry and stress and fear. And sometimes it can cause a lot of it. And you see, as you read these words, that David was worried. He was concerned. It was a time of concern in his life. And he was concerned especially with those who were opposing him. And I'm sure that caused him what we would describe as deep concern, deep fear. But in this psalm, and especially in the words of our text, verse 8, David finds great comfort, great solace for his time of trouble, for his time of great concern. And for a little while today, for a short time, I want us to consider what that comfort was, what comfort David received at a time of concern. So think again of the title, Comfort for Concerned Christians. That's what we have here. So I pray the Lord will make the message, make the meditation a blessing to your heart and soul this morning. You'll notice that the comfort that David received, first of all, it was divine. The comfort that came to David's heart as he passed through these circumstances, it was from the Lord. It was divine in its origin. It was something that came to him from God. If you look at the words of our text, look at the first word, or the first words, the Lord. How quickly we can pass over those words. We get so familiar with them. He begins with the Lord. And here, brethren and sisters, is another example of David encouraging himself in the Lord. And I want to urge you to do the same in this meeting this morning. David didn't have his eyes on his circumstances. I've highlighted his enemies. He didn't have his eyes on his enemies. He had his eyes on the Lord. And if you meditate upon the whole psalm, maybe you'll take time to do that this afternoon. It's not a long psalm, just the 8 verses. And if you meditate upon the psalm, I highlight for you, there's much of the Lord in these verses. Note in our text that twice you have the name, the title, Jehovah. Don't miss the capitals. Again, we can pass over that very quickly. The capitals there for Lord is Jehovah. In other words, the faithful, covenant-keeping God. In verse 3, he reminds you that Jehovah is a prayer-answering God. In the day when I cried, thou answerest me and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. He's a prayer-answering God. Again, our text speaks of God's mercy, and it endures forever. So David speaks much of the Lord. He speaks much of what the Lord can do, what the Lord can provide. And he's looking to the Lord. His eyes are upon him. And brethren and sisters, that is how to encourage yourself in times of trouble. This is how to comfort your heart in relation to all of those issues of life that concern you today. Don't depend on yourself. Don't take matters into your own hand. We have a responsibility. We're not denying that or discouraging that. But I want you today not to depend on your own wisdom, your own ability, your own strength. You too need to cry to the Lord in prayer and trust him completely. Remember, the Lord said to Moses, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. There's a time in the Christian life to be busy. It's hard for us to get the balance right. But there's also a time to be still. A time to stand still. And I emphasise that to you again. It's hard just to find the right balance in those things. Some of us can be too busy. Some of us are not busy enough, sitting still too long. But he says, Moses, the Lord said to Moses, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. In the psalm that we sang a little earlier, be still and know that I am God. There's a time for stillness in the Christian life. Think of that great exhortation of Solomon in the Proverbs. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. So whenever you're concerned about circumstances, it's vital, brethren and sisters, to look to him. It's vital to depend upon the Lord. Remember the lesson, if I could sum it up for you like this, the lesson is, he's concerned about all that concerns you. It's always good to know that somebody else is interested and concerned about your situation. Well, he's concerned about all that concerns you. So the comfort is divine. Notice as well that the comfort is delayed. The text says the Lord will. Notice the word will. So we learn here that the promise of the Lord's comfort is a promise that is looking forward. It's looking to the future. I stress to you, brethren and sisters, there's a better day. There's a better time that is coming. It's not now. It's not today. It hasn't just come or arrived yet. But the lesson here is that the Lord sometimes delays his blessings. The Lord sometimes delays his comfort and his deliverance. And what that requires is grace. We need grace to see it. And we need even greater grace to accept it. You will ask me this morning, well, why would the Lord do that? Why would the Lord wait to bring comfort and deliverance? Well, there's several answers can be given to that question. One is to test your faith. Peter speaks of the trial of your faith. Maybe the Lord's trying you. Joseph in prison in Egypt, the psalmist gives us a little insight into his spiritual struggles at that time. The psalmist said the word of the Lord tried him. So I want you to see that as a time for testing in the schools for the young people. Well, the Lord tests us in the school of faith. Maybe God's testing your faith at this time without delay. Another reason why the Lord delays is to prepare your heart. Sometimes our hearts are not right with God. We need to accept that, see that. Sometimes we're not in tune with God. We need a change of heart. Maybe you need to pray this morning, renew a right spirit within me, having the right outlook, the right attitude towards others and the circumstances in which you're found. And another reason why the Lord delays his comfort and deliverance is to take us away from the wrong things. It's a sad thing, but it's true. Christians sometimes get away from the Lord, get away from the will of God. And the Lord has to step in and take you away from the things that should never have concerned you to begin with. So it's vital, brethren and sisters, to understand this morning, sometimes the Lord waits, he delays in the fulfilling of his purpose, the fulfilling of his promise. If you think of David, he had to wait a long time before he became king in Israel. Remember, he was anointed. The Lord sent Samuel to his house when he was still a lad, still in his teens. But it was many years later before David became king over Israel. And you might have to wait as well. But remember that delays are not denials. Sometimes we mix that up. We don't see it as clearly as we should. When the Lord delays, that doesn't mean it's a denial. You think of the promise given through the prophet Habakkuk, though it tarry, wait for it shall surely come. Or it shall surely come. One of the things about the Lord, brethren and sisters, I emphasized it to you last week, he's never late. Maybe it was the week before. The Lord is never late. The Lord's always right on time. And the Lord knows what is best. And he knows the best time. He knows the right time to come with health and with deliverance. Remember, he doeth all things well. So we need to wait on him. The comfort is delayed. I emphasize to you as well that comfort is definite. Think again of that word will, because there's further instruction to be found within it. Although the Lord sometimes delays to work, delays to intervene, you're not to doubt for one moment that he will. That he will come and comfort and deliver you. May God deliver us as his people from unbelief. What Paul described in the book of Hebrews is a wicked heart of unbelief. May the Lord save us from being unbelieving believers. Brethren and sisters, his promise, his help, his support is something that is definite. It is something that is sure. We live in very uncertain times. We don't know what the future will bring. None of us knows what this week will hold, what the rest of this month, we've entered into the final month of 2023. None of us knows what's ahead if we're spared out into the new year. In the book of Joshua, when they came to enter into the promised land, it stressed that they had not been this way heretofore. And that's true of us all. That there's a new path that lies ahead, and we don't know what that path will bring. And as you look out today, perhaps on your own life personally, your own situation, it may be a very uncertain time. You just don't know what lies ahead, what the future holds. The trouble for you may be so great, the day may be so dark, that you might be tempted to think that the Lord has forgotten you. The Lord has left you. Notice that's just exactly how David felt. If you look at the end of the text, the end of verse 8, forsake not the works of thine own hands. There was thoughts, feelings in David's heart and mind that he had been forsaken. He feels forsaken. Do you remember Jacob? All these things are against me. He was in great pain at that time. And perhaps that's just how you feel. That's just what you're thinking this morning. Everything, everyone, even God himself is against you. But I stress to you, brethren and sisters, that he's not. That's the lie of the devil. I emphasize, I remind you, there's nothing uncertain about God. There's nothing uncertain about his promises. All the promises of God in him are yea and amen to the glory of God the Father. The certainty, the sureness of them. There's nothing uncertain about God's purposes. All things work together for good
to them that love the Lord, to them who are called according to his purpose. Remember or note that he said, work, all things work together for good. God's at work. And he's at work every moment. He's at work at every moment that we live. But we don't always see that. You think of this vast universe. You think of all the affairs, the business of this world. He's the one that upholds all things by the word of his power. When the Bible says of God that he rested on the seventh day, that doesn't mean that he ceased from all his work. He ceased from his work which he created and made, his work of creation. But his work of providence, that great work of God upholding this universe and overseeing all the affairs providentially of it, that work of God continued even on the seventh day, and it continues every day. He's at work every moment that we live, brethren and sisters. And everything that happens in your life, Paul says in that verse, is for your good. All things work together for good. So the need of the hour for all of us is to walk by faith and not by sight. I want to urge you to do that today. Whatever is happening in your life, trust the Lord. Trust the Lord to help you and to comfort you. It's definite. It's certain. He will do that for you. There's one final thing I'll emphasize, the description of the comfort. The text says, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Notice the word perfect. The idea of that word is that he will finish. He will complete the work, the purpose, the plan that he has. He will bring it to an end, and he will do it perfectly. And I remind you this morning, he's the only one that can do that. He's the only one that can bring anything to a perfect conclusion. Sometimes we interfere, and we only mess things up. We make the situation much worse. So be comforted, be encouraged today. The Lord never leaves a work unfinished. What the Lord has started in your life, he's going to conclude it. He will do that practically in your circumstances. He will do that as far as his will for your life is concerned. He will also do it spiritually in the work of grace, the work of redemption. Remember that sanctification, the difference between justification and sanctification, justification is the act of a moment. Sanctification is the work of a life. It's the work of making you holy. It's the work of making you more like Christ. The work of a lifetime. But the Lord will perfect that work. He will complete that as well. Paul, writing to the church at Philippi, stated that truth. He which has begun a good work in you, he will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. In other words, he will complete it. And Paul, when he was writing to the Hebrews, said he's the author, but remember, he's also the finisher of our salvation. So God, brethren and sisters, never leaves a work unfinished. He will perfect. He will bring to a perfect conclusion that which concerns you, that which worries you, is causing you to be anxious on this Sabbath morning. In closing, there's a little verse of a poem I think that sums up the comfort of this text and the comfort that David himself received those many years ago in his circumstances. The poem says, the work which his goodness began, the arm of his strength will complete. His promise is yea and amen, and never was forfeited yet. The Lord, let me emphasize that to you. Let us get our eyes on the Lord today. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. May he bless his word this morning to every heart. So 574, when the storms of life are raging, tempest wild on sea and land, I will seek a place of refuge in the shadow of God's hand.
He will hide me, he will hide me, where no harm can e'er betide me. He will hide me, safely hide me, in the shadow of his hand. The verses 1, 2 and 4, please. Hymn 574, I'll go down to the door after the first verse.
We encourage you to stay for the communion. If you're not able to remain, remember you'll have opportunity to leave the service just after the singing of the first verse. Thank you. Let's stand to sing.